happy Sunday. We are continuing our teaching series called Insights from the Wonderfully Weird. I'm having a total blast looking at the lives of two people groups, the mystics and the prophets. And today we're going to look at an Old Testament prophet named Micah. Micah was a prophet in Israel, and the people he was speaking to had completely lost the plot. They'd forgotten all about God, and they'd forgotten all about caring for people. In fact, people in positions of power in his community were taking advantage and oppressing the poor. So Micah laments about this. He's deeply sorrowful. Look what he says in chapter 1, verse 8. Because of this, I will weep and wail. I will go about barefoot and naked. I will howl like a jackal and moan like an owl. For Samaria's plague is incurable. It has spread to Judah. It has reached the very gate of the people, even to Jerusalem itself. Tell it not in Gath. Weep not at all in Beth Oprah. Roll in the dust. All right, so he is deeply sad, and scholars believe that Micah didn't just say these words, he actually did them. He walked around naked and barefoot. He wept and he wailed and he moaned like an owl and he rolled in the dust, which would have been what a person in deep grieving did at this time. Oh my gosh, and he was in grieving about their behavior. It would have been great street theater, though. It's really hard to ignore a naked, barefoot, wailing guy that's hooting like an owl in your streets. That tends to draw one's attention, and it would have got their attention, and they would have listened to his message. And the evil that the people had been participating in caused this deep emptiness to descend upon their lives. Look how Micah puts it in chapter 6. You will eat, but you'll not be satisfied. And he's not talking, that's a metaphor, he's not talking about actual food, he's just talking about their spiritual and emotional lives will just be empty. The most famous verse out of the book of Micah is the one I'd like to focus on today. Micah gives some phenomenal, stellar advice to these people about how to live lives that are full instead of empty. And I'll put up the verse for you right now, and it's Micah 6:8. We'll put it up on the screen. Let me read this for you. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I want to mention a few things about this verse, starting with do justly. And I realized that just 2 weeks ago when I was talking about Amos, I mentioned some things about justice here. I'm not having a senior moment. I'm going to mention some things about justice again because the prophets in the Old Testament mention it all the time, all the time, all the time. So here are a few extra things, some extra thoughts about justice. First of all, when Micah says do justly, justly is the Hebrew word mishpat, and in this context it means to promote equity and harmony, which is so fabulous because that reminds us that God's justice is all about restoration and it's never about retaliation or retribution. That is such good news. I think most of you have seen the Disney version of Snow White in your time, okay? But you probably aren't familiar with the Brothers Grimm version, the original version of it. It's quite a bit different. Now, the story begins kind of similarly. Snow White is born, and then her mom sadly passes away, and her dad marries a woman that becomes Snow White's stepmom. And the stepmom is the fairest in the land. She's quite beautiful, and she has this looking glass she looks into, and every day she asks it, who's the fairest of them all? And the looking glass says, it's you, until Snow White was seven. At 7 years of age, Snow White was so beautiful, the looking glass said, you're not the fairest of them all, your stepdaughter Snow White is. And she was filled with this intense rage towards her stepdaughter. She was so jealous. So she hires a huntsman to take Snow White out into the woods and to kill her. And the huntsman can't do it. He can't find it in himself to do it. Let Snow White go. She gets into the care of the seven dwarves, the famous seven dwarves. And eventually the stepmom figures out that Snow White had tricked her. And three times she goes into the woods and finds Snow White, and she's dressed in a disguise and tries to kill her, but her efforts were thwarted. Eventually, Snow White grows up, and she gets married to a prince, and the stepmom attends the celebration, the wedding celebration with her husband. And Snow White and the prince had found out what she'd done, that she was the person in the disguise. So after the celebration is over, as part of the reception, they made her strap on scalding hot iron shoes and dance until she died in front of them. Not your Disney version right there. And I read that and I thought, wow, I lost a little bit of respect for Snow White after reading that. She's not the nice little princess that we grow up thinking about. And I think the dwarves might have lost respect for her too. It's like, what are you doing, Snow White? We raised you to be such a nice woman, and then you strap on scalding hot iron shoes to your stepmom till she dies. Oh, well, the other day, I was, and the reason I lost respect for Snow White is because her idea of justice was quite obviously retaliation, and that's not God's idea of justice. The other day, I was considering all the injustices happening around us, and I was thinking to myself, what can I do? I'm a very practical person. I was thinking, what can I do? And I sometimes hear the Lord speak very clearly to my heart. Most of the time it's when I'm reading the Bible, but sometimes it's when this thought comes to my heart and I know I'm not clever enough to make it up. So I was just going, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And this is the phrase that came to my heart, and I truly believe it was from the Lord. The Lord spoke to me these simple words: don't look the other way. That's what you can do. That's so interesting, because it's believed what launched Micah the prophet into his prophetic ministry was one day he was at home, he lived in a small village, and he looked out his windows and he literally saw the injustices that were being done by people in power towards his neighbors. And he refused to look away, and seeing those injustices and noticing them is what launched him into action. And the same will happen to us when we actually see injustice and refuse to excuse it anymore, or just bury our heads in the sand. Recently, I saw an injustice and I didn't look away from it. And I'm going to tell you this, and you might have a different opinion on this. That's okay. But recently, you've noticed that the U.S. has decided to make some extreme cuts to a program that's called USAID. I think USAID is one of the best things about living in the United States. They do so much good for thousands of people all over the world and in our own country, people who are in crisis. And the cuts that the U.S. is planning on making and has already started are going to bring about so much suffering and, in some cases, death to the people that rely on USAID. The cuts will even affect us here locally. My wife was telling me this week, she was listening to an interview with the head of Food for Lane County, a phenomenal human being, what a great organization. And he was saying that his program is actually a safety net under the safety net of food stamps. Because most people, they run out of their food stamp money after the third week of the month. And then that's where Food for Lane County comes in. They provide food so that the people don't have food insecurity for the last week of the month especially. And he said, guess what? We get a lot of our food from, you guessed it, USAID. And that might be cut and probably already has been cut. And I thought, that is so unjust. And I couldn't look the other way about that. So I thought to my onesie, well, I'm looking at it, Lord. I'm looking at it, but what can we do? And I thought, I know what we can do. Our church can do a food drive for Food for Lane County. So we're going to do one in April. I just want all your food, and not those nasty green beans you've had in there for 25 years, okay? Like, even go buy some new food, okay? And you can get on, we'll have a little list for you of what they want that particular month. And we're just going to do a big old food drive because it's so great to do, and it's a practical way to do justly. I want to close out this point by reading a short story about justice that Jesus told some people. And it's out of the book of Luke, and we'll pop it up on the screen. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she was that persistent, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Okay, I'm going to end right there. Now, this is such an interesting story to me, and you've probably read this story, and you've probably heard it preached on in your life. And the preacher usually will say something like this: God is just like the judge in this story, and if you keep praying enough, eventually he'll give you what you're asking for. That is wrong on so many levels, but the one of the main reasons it's wrong is because God is nothing like the judge in this story. This judge neither feared God or cared about people. That's not what God is like. God is not evil, selfish, and apathetic. The judge in this story is actually like every unjust, corrupt leader in the world right now. That's who the judge is like. The widow seeks justice, but the judge, the corrupt judge, won't give it to her. You feel outraged right now when you see people in the world and in our country crying out for justice, and it falls on deaf ears. In fact, it would be really easy for all of us right now to live in a state of perpetual rage, our hearts burning and our fists clenched at the cries for justice that are being ignored. But this story from Jesus isn't an invitation to live in perpetual rage. It's an invitation to be people who are in perpetual prayer, which is way better. Way better. Look what author Brian Zahn says about this. Beware of cultivating perpetual rage. I know there's much to be angry about, but your soul can't bear the strain of perpetual rage. That is so true. But here's the cool part. When you feel perpetual rage at the injustice around you, that rage can actually be transformed into something helpful. Brené Brown, the researcher and author, says it this way. Let's put up this quote. Anger is a catalyst. It's an emotion that we need to transform into something life-giving, like courage, love, change, compassion, and justice. Yeah, and prayer, being in perpetual prayer, prayer is what allows us to transform our rage into justice. So no wonder Jesus told a story about being a person that prays and prays and prays and doesn't give up. Now let's talk about loving kindness. Micah says loving mercy, but that word mercy is actually the word hesed. It's a Hebrew word, and it means loving kindness. So this is yet another invitation from God and from the Bible for us to be people who are actively and intentionally kind. Right now, I have talked to some people, and my wife has too, that are feeling so overwhelmed by the craziness in the world right now, they just want to move to a faraway place and sip margaritas on a beach somewhere for the rest of their life. And this week when it's raining, that's going to sound pretty good to me, okay? I got to admit. But chances are we won't be moving. So the question is, how can we make things better for ourselves and for the people around us? And the answer is Micah 6:8. We can make things better by loving and participating in kindness. So I thought of some ways that we can be kind and some real practical ways in case you need a little bit of help getting started in the kindness revolution that seems to be brewing up in the public right now. People are seeing so much injustice and they're going, well, I need to be kinder to people. It's so cool to watch that bubble up. Here are some ways. First of all, bags of love. Many of you know about Bags of Love. It's an organization that helps children who are suffering from abuse, neglect, poverty, or even abandonment or some other sort of trauma. And they make these big, huge duffel bags and they fill them with necessities like blankets and toiletries and clothing and books and art books and all kinds of great stuff. And they deliver thousands per year, and I was just there a week and a half ago, and they're breaking records this year on how many people are requesting bags of love in Lane County. On March 30th, we have one of our first fifth Sundays of the year, and it's our service days when we get in here and we pray, and then we instantly start helping out bags of love. We'll be making blankets. We bought a whole bunch of brand new scissors, so you don't have to kill your fingers on those old dull ones. Isn't that great? So we're going to be doing that and some of the other projects, and we're going to be doing some weeding, weather permitting, for the nursery and the daycare center across the street from here. It's a kind thing to do to serve the people around us. The second thing, I've got a list that we can be kind, intentionally kind, has to do with Pride Day. You've probably noticed in this past year that for reasons my mind actually can't even comprehend, many politicians around the United States have chose to target the queer community, especially trans people, trying to pull their health care, get rid of gender neutral bathrooms, or even disallow same-sex marriage in some states. This makes a people group that already feels vulnerable feel even more vulnerable and afraid. And it's honestly, the people that are doing it, they're just big fat meanies. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm just like, that's just mean. There's better things to do with your time than just pick on people. Just stop it. But what can we do to these folks to show them some much needed kindness? And then it came to me just out of the blue again. We can go to Pride Day. Pride Day in Eugene is June 28th. I'll put on the poster for it. And it's at the fairgrounds. It's like, I don't know my sense of direction. It's like right there. It's right there. It's like a few blocks away, okay? We can go to Pride Day. In fact, some of the people in our church right now are working with the organizers of Pride Day and trying to find out what our actual church can do to serve and help this day run. But if that doesn't happen, we can still show up because our presence is more important than you think. Our presence alone is a great act of kindness because it says to a group of vulnerable people, you are loved, you matter, you're wanted, and we are here. We are here with you, which is such a kind thing to do. The third thing you can do is activate your RAS system. RAS stands for Reticular Activating System, and what it is, it's a system that can be so helpful in kindness, in us doing kindness. The RAS is actually a bundle of nerves in your brainstem, and it does a lot for us, but one cool thing it does is this, it helps you with awareness. Let me explain. Let's say this coming week you go and buy a brand new shiny Subaru. Okay, the one you've always wanted, and it's bright red. You can't wait. And you're thinking, I'm so original. There are no other bright red Subarus like mine around Eugene and Springfield. I'm the only one. I'm going to be so cool. And you buy it, and you take it home, and then the first day you drive it across town, let's say you go to Valley River, something happens. You see bright, shiny red Subarus just like yours everywhere. They're everywhere, and that didn't happen out of the blue. Those other Subarus were always there. They just weren't important to you, so they didn't notice. You didn't notice them. But now that they're important to you, you notice them. That's your RAS kicking in. Here's what it has to do with kindness. There's a purpose to this, okay? I'll give you an example from my own life. I've really been trying to up my kindness game. I've been trying to go overboard on being kind to the people around me. And I've been looking for ways, and I've found a few ways. I carry granola bars in my car now, because when I see people with signs on the corner, I give them one. And this one guy looked like he needed a lot, and he had a dog. So I just gave him the whole bag. And he was over the moon happy. It was so cool. He was so grateful. One day, there was a girl in our neighborhood, and it was raining, and it was cold, and she was bundled in a parka, and it was pouring, and she just needed some gas. Her car had just run out of gas. And I go, hey, I'm going to go fill my car up. I didn't really need to, but I'm going to go fill my car up. Meet me at the gas station. It was like half a block. And she runs over there with her gas can, and I just filled it up. And it was a small one. I would have given her way more. And it was so fun. And then another time, I was carrying an extra pair of shoes in my car just in case. And they were really nice. I don't know why I left them in there. And I saw a guy on one of those days where it was raining, but it was more like liquid ice. You know, those days, it was like, I wish it would snow. It would be warmer. You know, one of those days. And he was walking, and he didn't have any shoes. I'm going, oh, no, because I'm a wuss. I have the most weeny feet in the world. I can't walk on my own driveway. It hurts them too bad. And I'm thinking, that would just be miserable. And so I got my shoes out, and I go, what size are your feet? And he told me it was the exact size of the shoes. I go, okay, God, I get it. And I gave him the shoes, and he was, can you imagine how happy he was? And they were almost brand new, and they were really expensive too. I'm not saying that to say woe is me. I'm going, it was actually kind of difficult. I was thinking, oh, I'll go buy him some flip-flops. And I was going, oh, okay, God, I'll give him the really nice shoes. Once I started participating in kindness and it became important to me, the weirdest thing happened. My RAS kicked in, and I started seeing opportunities to be kind to people everywhere, every day. It is fantastic when it happens to you. It's like a light bulb goes off. It's inconvenient as all get out, and it's going to cost you, but it's so fun. And the last thing you can do, don't be afraid to do unusual things that are kind. I told some of you about a crazy cool organization. You can Google them today. You'll get a kick out of them. I told you about this a couple of years ago. It's called the Penguin Foundation. And they just do all kinds of great things for our little tuxedo-clad friends. But one of the things they do, whenever there's a tragic oil spill anywhere in the world, they send a call out, and you can sign up for this. They send a call out to people to knit sweaters for penguins, especially the young ones, because it helps in their recovery program. Check it out. That's one of them. It survived the oil spill, and there's something they can't deal with the cold as well for a while until their skin recovers. So people all over the world knit sweaters for them. And I thought, maybe you're a kind of person, you don't know, how can I help? And you just want to help in these, and you love animals. Great. You know what a really kind, weird thing to do is? Knit a sweater for a penguin. Get on their program and sign up to do that, okay? Here, I'll end this point with this. There is a great side effect to being people who are intentionally kind, and it's this: you worry less. I don't know about you, I've worried my whole life. I'm from a family of fraidy cats. My dad and my mom both just worried all my life, and it kind of rubbed off on me. Thanks for those genes. When I was a kid, I can remember I always worried that I was going to fall into quicksand because I used to watch the Tarzan show on television. None of you under 40 know what I'm talking about. It was a black and white Tarzan movie, and people always fell in quicksand in that show. And I thought, I'm going to be walking in the woods. I lived in Pleasant Hill. There's got to be quicksand. I didn't know it was a jungle thing. I just thought, I'm going to die in the quicksand. That's like the worst way to go. And then I got a little bit older, and as a teen, I remember looking in the mirror one day, and I go, my acne's never going to go away. I was so worried about my complexion. And then I got a little bit older and I thought, I am never going to find love. What happens in my mind? I know you're thinking, oh, you're thinking about you'll never get married. No, I was wondering if I ever get to have sex at the time. That's all I was worried about. Marriage, okay? I just didn't want to die before I had sex. And then I got married, had sex, and we have children. And then what takes over your life then, the main thing you worry about, you just don't want your kids, you just want to be okay. You just always worry about your kids. This is a constant thing. There's always something to worry about. But if you're not careful, worry can consume you because it likes to invite anxiety and depression over for play days all the time. It leads to those things. This is where kindness comes to the rescue. When we are kind, we don't worry about the bad things that might happen in life because we're too busy doing the good things. I know that's very simple, but it's true. The more time you spend being kind, the less time you have to worry. It's so great. It's such a great side effect. Let me end now with walking humbly. Anger and arrogance are trending in our world right now, and humility isn't. And that's sad because humility is the path God wants us all on, and for good reason. Humility is so beneficial to the people around us and to us. I'm going to pop up a few scriptures. The first one's in an Old Testament book you've probably never read called 2 Chronicles. And this is God speaking. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So being humble people is what happens is we become people who bring healing to the land around us. That's a pretty great thing. The second verse is from Psalm 25. Look what it says, Psalm 25, verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. That's a pretty good thing. When you're a humble person, God actually gives you direction for your life and he gets you heading towards something that's really good. And then Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. The lofty or the proud, he sees them from afar. So if you're a humble person, you can actually know God up close and personal because your pride won't push God away. These are just the few of the reasons that humility is such a great path to be on. But the big question is, how do we become humble people? And again, here are some ways in case you're going to struggle with that. The first thing you can do is just pray a simple prayer. God, please humble me. But I'm warning you, that's like the scariest prayer in the world to pray, because God, he seems to take his sweet time, or she takes her sweet time, answering my prayers on other things. But whenever I pray, God, humble me right now, it happens instantaneously almost. It's like God is looking over my life and saying, well, it's about time, I'll get right on that. Okay, it happens every time, so beware, all right? The second thing you can do is look at the stars. I am totally serious, this works. When you can see them, okay, look up in the stars. There's a lot of them. Scientists estimate there's 100 million stars in our galaxy alone, and there are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe that we know of, which is a very small part. So there's a lot of stars. Do the math, 100 million times 2 trillion, and see how many zeros you come up with, okay? There's a lot of stars, but check this out. This is Psalm 147. God determines the number of the stars, God made them all, and he calls them each by name. God is so far beyond us, not only can he create stars, she creates stars, but God names them and doesn't forget their names. You've probably forgotten the name of the person you met during the greeting time already. God is so far beyond us. That's a humbling thought. The third thing you can do is just think this thought. God loves me, and I did nothing to deserve it. Nothing. God loved me right off the bat. That is so humbling. I want to try to earn God's love, but God has to always remind me, no, it's already there. You don't have to. That's so humbling. And lastly, you know how we love quotes. This is a quote, when you think about it over and over this week, will humble you instantly. This is so great. And I don't know who said it. It's a random one. I stay humble because I've seen people become what they laughed at. That is so humbling when I think about that. There are people that I laugh at, mostly slow drivers, and I thought, oh, I shouldn't do that. It's humbling because I might be one. My wife is nodding at me. I might be one day. That's a very humbling thing. We are becoming the people we're currently laughing at. You became kind of like your parents, and you used to laugh at them, didn't you? You tried not to be like them, but you kind of are, all right? That's a humbling thing. I want to pray for us, and then I'm going to give a couple of just quick announcements to end our time. Thank you, God, for showing us how we can live full lives instead of empty lives. We are so grateful for that. By your great grace, and we need your help here, Lord, help us to be people who do justly, who don't look the other way, who love kindness and start seeing opportunities for it everywhere, and to walk humbly with you, because it's a great path to be on. We love you. Thank you for these wonderful words from a great prophet that you raised up. Amen.